And of course, with our special guest, Judica Illis, we're talking about her latest work, The Encyclopedia of Witchcraft, the complete A through Z for the entire magical world. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Judica Illis with us, of course, and we will take your phone calls as well. So through your career as a witch, have you ever had a bad situation, a dangerous situation confront you?
I think my most dangerous situations in life have had nothing to do with witchcraft.
Just being a human being.
Yeah. Those are the most dangerous things. Yes, I commuted in New York City back when there was a lot of crime, and I, you know, there were a lot of people to be afraid of. Witchcraft itself, no. If anything, it has helped. I create bubbles of protection for myself. So when you are frightened or you find yourself in a fearful situation, you can create a kind of a bubble around yourself. You do it every day, and eventually it kind of creates a little bit of a shielding device for yourself. You can kind of learn how to avoid dangerous people and avoid harm, and try to watch out for those dangers of the world. It's people who are scary, not ghosts.
That's true. Let's go to the phones. Lisa in Las Vegas, welcome to the program. Hi, Lisa. Go ahead.
Hi. Okay, I had a quick question.
Sure.
Before the break, you said about the Wizard of Oz, and yeah. You didn't like it because they killed the witch, right?
I found it a very stressful movie. I appreciate it more now that I'm older, but as a child, it was on TV annually. Everybody watched it, and I found it so stressful.
Ding dong, the witch is dead.
Yeah.
I bet you hated that song. Did you hate that song?
It bothers me, yeah. Especially out of the context of the movie. You know, there are recordings, Ella Fitzgerald and Barbara Streisand. And if you imagine any ethnic group, any religious group, even, you know, ding dong, the woman is dead.
Jumping up and down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty hateful song.
I know. Ding dong, the Catholic is dead. People would go crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, there would be protests.
So people
because witches are people.
Of course they are.
You know, well, I think, you know, that's what, you know, at the bottom line, witches are people. And, you know, people should be treated gently and with respect, all of us.
Next up, we go to Wayne in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Yep. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a long listener. I can't remember if I've called in before or not. But anyhow, I just had a quick question for Ms. Isles. When I was a young man, which has been many years ago, I think I'm slightly older than you are, George. But anyhow, I used to be able to visualize things pretty well. And she mentioned visualizing your spell was completed. And
yeah,
I can't seem to visualize things anymore. Do you have any suggestions for that? And I'll go ahead and take my answer off the air.
How do you concentrate? How do you make it work, Judica?
You just sort of have to do it. It's the same thing as writing. You know, people ask me, how do you write a book? Just do it. You can fix it later. Try to do it for 5 minutes a day. And if it doesn't work, just don't get frustrated with yourself. Do it again. Try to do it at the same time. And try to visualize something simple in the beginning. Just visualize yourself walking to the store and coming back. No pressure. Visualize somebody else doing something. Just keep it very simple and then expand on it. It's a skill, and sometimes there's resistance of all kinds to it for whatever reason. I find that if there's resistance, maybe there's some that almost sort of suggests you should be doing it, because sometimes when we get close to something, we pull back, you know. If there's something that maybe is a little bit stressful, or, you know, we're touching on something a little sensitive, we lose the knack for it. There are things you can do to enhance the process. There are certain kinds of incense, frankincense and myrrh and sandalwood, that allegedly will increase your ability. And you can experiment with that sort of thing. Sometimes people make rings of crystals. Depending where you're sitting, you can either wear a crystal, a plain quartz crystal, or if you sit on the floor, you can, put it, even in a chair, you can make a circle around yourself with it. But those are all extras. I mean, so that might also be a distraction. Just try.
Most people would freak out if they were sitting on a plane next to a witch. Not necessarily justified, but they would, wouldn't they?
Well, you hear stories about people on planes refusing to sit next to women or refusing to sit next to all kinds of people. Odds are we've all sat next to a witch on a plane. I don't know that you would
never recognize. I never knew it. Well, there's another question. Know. Can you tell if somebody's a witch? Are there any telltale signs?
A lot of people who dress up as witches and may or may not be. And there are a lot of witches who are very, very discreet. If you look at my Facebook page in October, I post on my fan page, I post a witch of the night. Every night I'll post a picture of a different witch and a little story. And at the beginning of October, I had some very influential British witches who very Doreen Valiente and Patricia Crowther, who were very influential in the history of modern witchcraft. But you wouldn't know to look at them. They just wore regular clothes, nice-looking women in regular clothes, discreet. Depending on where people live, it's not always safe to look like a witch. So I would say odds are, there may be a witch next to you anywhere you are. You might never know. Just regular people, there's no telltale sign necessarily. There's no horns or tail or, anything, maybe a twinkle in the eye. I find a lot of witchy people to have really good senses of humor, and sometimes you'll see that twinkle in the eye, but it could just be someone with a sense of humor.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's the
people who are fine. People who are psychic vampires, negative energy people. How do you categorize them? What would you say about them?
Those are not a witch. May be a psychic vampire, but a psychic vampire doesn't have to be a witch. That's a whole other thing. And there are assorted things you can do to avoid psychic vampires. You want to seal off your aura.
Run.
You want to put that bubble of protection around you to ward off that sort of, that draining of your energy, because it's not healthy.
Get away from them.
Yeah.
That's the simple thing.
And
right?
I mean, and that's a really simple thing. I mean, think about people, and when you spend time with them, if you feel empowered and energized, that's a good thing. And if there are people and you consistently, it's not one bad day, but if you consistently feel tired after you've been with them, you're drained.
Drained, and you don't know why. You're just wiped out.
Then those are people you really maybe shouldn't have as much contact with.
That's true.
Because that's the best solution, just avoid them.
Sometimes, though, they don't know what they're doing.
Very often they don't. Very often they're just needy. It's not a conscious thing. It's just something that they're doing. And you can, if you are that kind of a person, you can train yourself not to be. But then there are people who do it deliberately also. And so those are in particular the people you want to avoid.
Let's go out to Brewer, Maine. Pat's with us east of the Rockies. Hi, Pat. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I can't pronounce your name, Judith.
Judica.
Hi, George, thank you. I'm not even going to try. But I was curious about, the rye disease that caused all the Salem. Horrible.
And that's one of the theories. Yes, it is one of the theories that in Salem and elsewhere, ergot is a kind of a fungus that grows on wheat, specifically rye, and there are cases of ergot of illness. If those spores are not removed, and they are ground into the grain, you could have a whole community that's afflicted with hallucinations. Ergot is the progenitor of modern LSD, so it has that type of, aside from other kinds of physical reactions to it, it does cause hallucinations, and there have been modern outbreaks. And people, there was a case in France a couple decades ago where people claimed afterwards that they felt that they had transformed into animals and they were being attacked by snakes and tigers. And of course, none of that was actually happening.
We think.
Yeah, it's one of the theories that one of the underlying causes of, I think, you know, because for centuries there was witch hunting. And a lot of people were killed throughout Europe, virtually all of Europe, and into the European colonies, so North America, like Salem, and South America, Peru, and into the Congo. And, you know, so a good part of the world. I personally think that nothing, I subscribe to what M. Scott Peck said, which is that nothing important has only one root cause. I think it's very possible that ergot was one of the causes, but I don't think it's the only cause. I think Salem in particular, you had a lot of traumatized people. They were very afraid. There is, and I don't remember the title of the book, a number of the young women who became the girls who accused others of witchcraft had been survivors of Indian attacks and had seen their relatives pass away in not, you know, not peaceful ways. And, you know, there was no concept of post-traumatic stress at that time. So you had a community of very repressed and very stressed people, a lot of people with anger towards each other, and always follow the money trail. Even with witchcraft trials, follow the money, because there was a lot of property changing hands because of those witchcraft accusations.
You hear the story in Tanzania? Have you been following this one? A witch doctor and other leaders charged with murder, killing five women that they believe were witches.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of these stories. Yeah, I know. Throughout India, now throughout Africa, there is a panel of witch hunters in Saudi Arabia, which is very similar.
And they behead them there.
Yeah. And they confiscate their property, too. Very similar to the Inquisition in Europe. So, it's the locale has shifted, but the methods are pretty much the same. Yeah, the situation in Africa is very, very depressing. There are a lot of children who have been accused of witchcraft. And a lot of this is a reaction to missionaries who come and preach, you know,
religion, that, and they're punished.
Who preach that people perhaps who are different or who are not obedient or who demonstrate certain behaviors are possessed by demons or are able to project demons and harm other people. And there are thousands of children who have been abandoned. There are camps of women in I think Ghana, where women who cannot go home again because people think they're witches and will harm them. So the government has provided kind of, you know, places for them to stay. It's a sanctuary, but it's not a way to live. It's a very, very sad situation.
You have a chapter about the hag. Tell me about that.
The hag. The hag is that image that we see around this time of year, that witch with the jagged, harsh face and the warts. Going back to The Wizard of Oz, you know, the original, it was supposed to be Gail Thondergard who was going to play the Wicked Witch of the West, but they tested it and people thought she was too beautiful. And so they brought in Margaret Hamilton. And you can actually go, if you go on these websites that feature The Wizard of Oz, you can see her transformation. They made her more hag-like. They made her more haggard. They made her profile sharper, and they made her into a harsh, unappealing person. Hags are perceived as a kind of a witch. The irony is that the word derives from a root word for holy, hagiography, hagiology. And the oldest hags are kind of goddess. They're these troll goddesses, these giant goddesses, going very, very ancient mountain rock goddesses who are, you know, they are harsh. They often have a winter side and a summer side, and they're beautiful maidens in the summer and big, harsh, strong female figures in the winter. And this is, I think, as we live in societies that don't have a lot of roles for women often. You know, women are expected to be small and thin, you know, not take up a lot of space and be youthful. And look, we have all these industries based on keeping us looking youthful, plastic surgery and hair dye.
Just cast a spell on a guy. He'll be like, yes, in shallow
illusion.
Hell.
Well, it is one, yes, but it is one of the illusions, that ability to create a glamour. So, you know, the 80-year-old woman looks like a 20-year-old woman. There are all these fairy tales about, you know, and of course...
It's like American Horror Story.
Yes, yes, exactly. And of course, after, you know, after the relationship has been consummated, you know, the person lets the glamour go, because it takes a lot of effort to maintain something like that. And in fact, you know, horror of horrors, you've married someone who's, you know, old and ugly. It's at its root, in a lot of traditional societies, menopausal women are considered heroines. They've survived childbearing. They're wise. They're smart. And they are often leaders of communities. But in cultures where that is not the case, the hag is a dreaded figure. You know, she's kind of outlived her usefulness in society. She becomes a scary figure of fairy tales.
Let's go to Washougal, Washington. Casey's with us now. Hi, Casey. Let's get you in before the break. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm a longtime listener.
Thank you.
Way back in 93 when
way
it was Bill, and I love your show. I listen to it almost every night.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to say that, kind of give the Christian perspective on spells.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize if I missed what you had said, if you were religious or believed, read the Bible.
Judica, do you believe in the Bible?
Yes. And I mean, there are, and I am not one of them, but there are witches who consider themselves to be Christian witches.
Yeah. That's true.
And the, you know, Psalms. The Psalms are used in spell casting. People chant various Psalms for various purposes, especially to keep away forces of evil.
Hold on, Casey. I'm sure you've got a question there when we come back from the break. Our final segment with Judica Ellis as we talk about her work, Encyclopedia of Witchcraft. And don't forget to like us on Facebook by going to our website, coasttocoastam.com. And we're with Judica Ellis as we're talking about her latest work, The Encyclopedia of Witchcraft. It is an amazing book. It's a big one. Listen to one of her first chapters. It says, most of my clothes are black. I have a black cat. My favorite holiday is Halloween. I have perpetually unruly hair. Given the right company, I will happily chatter on about astrology, magic, herbs, divination. I write books of magic spells, so perhaps it's not surprising that periodically I'm asked whether I'm a witch. We'll take more of your calls when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. So we've established that Judica believes in the Bible. Let's now go back to Casey in Washington for her question. Go ahead, Casey.
Yes, I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all.
I understand.
I just, you know, I had a story from a long time ago. I had a friend, and she was practicing witchcraft, and she said it was all, you know, white magic spells, and she had me go in the bathroom and do this love spell, and with the candle, white candle, and everything, and she had done it too, and I might have been skeptical because it worked on her, but we had went to a restaurant that evening, and we all have coffee there late at night, and this guy had wrote this like 2-page letter, how beautiful she was, and how, I mean, I was blown away. You know, he just kept staring at her, and another guy hit on her, and so I absolutely believed, you know, what she did, and I believe in it because I've also had experience with the psychic.
What happened to your spells?
I apparently didn't believe it enough because you don't have to. I really wanted it to work, but I was probably too skeptical, but now I do believe because I've had a lot of, you know, experience with it. I was blown away how this guy just was completely infatuated with her that evening, and right then and there, I believed in it, and you know, but then I had an uneasy feeling kind of about it. It was, I don't know, it was really strange, and I just, you know, I looked up in the Bible, and there's in Corinthians, and just about every story in the Bible says something about sorcerers, and you know, and then I was like, well, what's the difference between the white magic, black magic, and then it said, because I can't quote, you know, verbatim what it says, but like in, even in Revelations, it says that sorcerers and people who don't look towards God for the answers, or, you know, try to create their destinies, you know, that they need to seek forgiveness because they will be cast in the fires of hell, you know, and this is no disrespect.
All right, well, let's get some of Judica's thoughts on some of this. So her spell didn't work for her, Judica.
You know, you said something interesting, though, because you said you didn't believe. It's not the believing in the spell, and I know a lot of people will say, you know, you have to believe in the spell. You don't. What you have to believe in when you cast a spell is the possibility of life getting better in the area you're asking for it to get better. Maybe it could improve. Whether it's a spell or whether it's a coincidence or whether, you know, you're asking for help from a sacred being, from God, the angels, saints, you have to believe in the possibility that it could work. You don't have to actually believe in the spell. I'm not sure how much belief actually has to do with it. I think it's really a process. If you feel uneasy, you shouldn't do it. I mean, that is, if anything makes you feel uneasy, you have to learn how to trust your instincts. And sometimes it's that feeling, that uneasiness that puts the brake on that spell. If you're not comfortable with doing it, if you're afraid that I'm asking for something, I'm asking for love, but maybe something bad will happen, you know, I will burn in hell as the price of this, then don't do it. Don't do it. It is supposed to be about making your life better. And if you have feelings or beliefs that it's wrong, then it's not the system for you. It's a very straightforward thing. It's maybe it's not for everybody. You know, as far as burning in the fires of hell, I believe in an afterlife, and I think I will be with my loved ones, wherever we are. So those are, you know, those are the people I want to be with.
And you shall.
Yeah.
At the right time.
Yeah.
Let's go to Los Angeles. Steve, you're up with us. Go ahead, Stephen.
Good morning, people.
Morning.
Good morning.
Anyway, to start off with, years ago, you know, I used to band out, you know, good cheer, joy, warm fuzzies, and cat spells, like handing out candy on Halloween. And I was very content and didn't want for nothing. And so my two previous relationships pretty much just sucked the way to life. And part two is that my love of my life, she's been a lifelong practitioner and is pretty much a reasonable level of chrome. But over the years, between the two of us, we just kind of like light the candle on the altar and dust it off occasionally, and just haven't had any joy or enthusiasm behind it, and really haven't been doing much of anything. And I don't know if you have any advice or insight as to how to rekindle the light. And before you answer that question, George, I do have to ask you, your last interview with Evelyn, there was a lady who called that you were both really intent on helping, and I was just kind of wondering if give me information as to whatever happened about or with that.
She was helped, and I assume she is doing better now. It's been a long time, of course, since that happened. By the way, breaking story here, judge sentencing Oscar Pistorius to 5 years in prison for culpable homicide and the death of his girlfriend. Breaking story right there. All right, let's let you react to that, Judica.
Well, you know, that crucial component is joy. I understand what you're saying, and when it gets mechanical, I think you have to pull back and do something else, or pull back and give it a break, because it's never supposed to be mechanical. I really do understand, because something is, I think especially if you do it on a regular basis, if you make offerings regularly, it becomes rote and mechanical, and then that's not why we're doing it. We're looking for that joy and that ecstasy. So I think the only thing to do is to pull back and look for something else. Look for something that provides that spark for you. And sometimes we just need a break. Sometimes we need to pull back and maybe not do anything, or just take it really down to the most basic. And we've got a solar eclipse this week. We have, we just had that blood moon, all this phenomenon, and just to really bring it back to the natural world, to try to rekindle that spark of what brought us down this path in the first place, and to follow that joy. It's literally to follow, to find that spark and to follow it and see where it leads. Because sometimes, it's just... maybe that path isn't the one. We've completed it. It served its purpose, and now it's time to look for the little side street off that path, because you're going to take it with you, and you may find that you go back to what you're doing. Maybe that with a little bit of a hiatus, you come back and you find fresh joy in it. But when it becomes mechanical like that, it's time to go look for something else.
Okay.
Location, different something.
When you're giving spells, do you need like a lock of hair of the person?
There are spells that ask for locks of hair or nail clippings. My father, I remember as a child, was always very, very, very careful when he trimmed his nails to get rid of them. And he had been taught by his parents. So those little intimate articles potentially leave us vulnerable to someone who maybe have designs on us, whether for good or for ill. But you don't need them. The most important thing you need is desire and a goal. Those are really the two crucial components of a spell. Everything else is extra. Having that lock of hair maybe makes it easier, but you don't need it. But I would be careful. I would be careful with those things, and any sort of intimate, anything that people can sort of attach their desires onto your aura, that to make that connection. I would be careful with it. Yeah.
I got another breaking story, Judica. Oh my gosh, it never stops. The past Coast to Coast guest Dolores Cannon, who is a world-renowned author, speaker, hypnotherapist, past life regressionist, and a dear friend, apparently has passed away. She had an accident several days ago, and they thought she was doing better, but apparently not. My gosh, I was just with her last summer at one of her events. Wonderful lady and a great guest. So,
I'm so sorry to hear that.
My gosh. Next up, we go to Roger in Sacramento, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Raj, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to ask a question here. I dated a Wiccan, and she was in a bad relationship, and she feared for her life, she told me, and everything, and she lived in Indiana. Well, when I went to go see her, she said she was so feared for her life and stuff that she had changed her appearance to look like her sister that had passed away. And I'm wondering, is that possible?
Yeah.
Somebody can do that?
Sure is.
Go ahead, Judica. I have seen strange things. I have had experiences that I'm sure other people would tell me can't possibly have happened. And so I don't, I am willing to believe what other people tell me. I don't think it's an easy thing to do, but I mean, if it's her sister, hypothetically, maybe there was already a resemblance there. There is such a thing as a glamour. It's spelled the British way, G-L-A-M-O-U-R. It's associated with fairy magic, that ability, you know, to make someone, let's say somebody who's old and haggard, look young and fresh. It's not something that has ever appealed to me, so I cannot tell you from personal experience how it works. You know, getting someone to call me up on the phone, I've done that, you know, so I know how that works. But I have, that's been the subject of folklore for centuries. Apparently it can be done. It's hard to maintain it because it takes a lot of energy to maintain it over long periods of time. It's something that people sometimes will do when they go to parties, you know, for you know, it's like a sprinter. You can maintain it for a brief period, a couple hours, and, you know, in low light. It's a hard thing to do 24/7. I think that there are easier ways of avoiding someone. You can move and change your name. You know, witchcraft and spells work hand in hand with regular mundane life. It's not a substitute. And if there is an easy mundane solution, you know, definitely, you know, it's like you can do all the work spells you want, find a job spell. But if you're not actually looking for work, they may not work. You know, you can, you know, if you're not actually trying to find employment, it doesn't matter how many spells you're casting. If you're doing spells to win the lottery, you still have to buy a ticket. And so, yeah, I mean, hypothetically it can be done. You know, did this particular person do it? I don't know. You know, you would have to compare, you know, what you looked like before and what the, but hypothetically, sure, it could be done.
All right, let's take one or two more calls. We go next to Gil in St. James, New York, first-time caller. Gil, go ahead. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Judith. Good morning, George.
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm looking for advice. My wife had passed away back in 1993, and then in 1995, I started dating this lovely, lovely lady, and we dated for about a year. And for whatever reason that we still can't really come to terms with, we broke up, and I think probably it was because I just didn't appreciate her. We ended up getting back together about 3 years ago. In fact, she had told me that the reason she had relationships but couldn't go on is because she was still in love with me. Now, this past summer, abruptly, completely out of the blue, she broke up with me. And I thought over the period of time of the 3 years, we had a lovely relationship, no arguments, everything was fine. She seemed to say that the reason she broke up was because she thought I was dragging my feet in the relationship. I'm looking for advice. Now, she still has clothes here at my home. In fact, she even has left a candle here. Looking for advice on what I could do to win her back, because truly, I guess I broke her heart back in 1995, and now my heart is really broken and missing her just terribly. What advice would you give me?
Are you speaking with her now?
She won't take my calls.
A classic way to do this, and it is, you know, one of the things you'll see in candle stores that scares people are skull candles, and you will see them out in force now because, you know, it's the holiday season, but they're not intended to scare people and they're not intended to be threatening looking. They are intended to be used as a communication device. What you do is you get, they're inexpensive, shouldn't cost more than a couple dollars. Every botanical will have one, and you could use any kind of a skull candle. They're all over right now. What you do is you carve the person's name with like a pen or a pin or a rose thorn. A rose thorn is a romantic You know, you take a thorn off a rose, and you would put her name on the forehead. You can personalize it if she has a special perfume or a special scent. Actually, she left a candle here, and if you're not afraid that she'll be angry at you, you could possibly even use the candle she left because it's already attached to her. But the skulls are better because it's a face, and you could anoint it with her perfume. You want to make it as much like her as possible, and then what you want to do is speak with it. The call she won't take, well, the candle will provide the medium to send the message to her. You want to kind of look in those eye sockets and tell her what you want to tell her. Tell her exactly what you just said. What you just said was so beautiful, you know, that you regret it and you would like to make it right. And tell her, you know, speak very simple and very clear. Mercury goes direct at the end of this week. It is better if you do it. Do it after October 25th.
Judica, where do people get your book, Encyclopedia of Witchcraft?
Wherever good books are sold.
How about where bad books are sold?
Maybe even there.
All right, Judica, thanks. You be safe, okay?
Thank you.
Judica Ellis. I mean, this is an amazing book. I mean, it's huge. It really is. Maybe one day I'll do a little contest, as we do on Fridays every once in a while, and I'll give this thing away. I mean, it is something else. Dr. Doom, Ed Dames, on our next Coast to Coast show. Make sure you're part of it. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.